EFL. It's the Football League podcast in dire need of an independent regulator. Coming up, Birmingham need a temporary manager. I predict a row. A wise man will tell us about Pompey's title tilt, and we'll discuss who needs to get cracking ahead of the pivotal period that is Easter. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. Welcome along then, gang. We're here for another week in the Football League. It might be an international break, but there's still plenty for us to talk about. Sam Parkin is in France. We wish him a bon voyage in his absence. We've got a couple of special guests joining us later. But first, Adrian Clark's with us as ever. Hey, Adrian Clarkey.
Hello, Matt. Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, it's all right for Sam, isn't it? Going away to the south of France. But yeah, good on him.
Easter holidays, isn't it? I'm going to Centre Parks at the weekend, which I do not class as a holiday, but work.
I'm going to St Ives in Cornwall next week, and just looked at the forecast, and I'm thinking, can you get the money back?
British holidays, you got to love them. Right, we are going to talk Birmingham City shortly, but first, let me remind you of the offer from our friends at Quinbet. Have enhanced their UK welcome offer. You can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers that sign up only. You can check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It's 18 plus, and remember, always gamble responsibly. Okay, next today, we're going to talk Birmingham City. Right, joining us for a bit of blue talk is the incomparable TalkSport titan and Birmingham City diehard, Ian Dance. Dance, we booked you before we knew the Gary Rowett news. He's back as interim head coach slash consultant. Is that necessary, do you think? Can he turn the ship around?
Well, I guess something had to happen, Matt, given that I think the initial prognosis of 6 to 8 weeks recovery that was mentioned with regard to Tony Mowbray after his medical procedure was probably a little ambitious to say it was going to be that soon. And couple that with the notion of thrusting a manager who's just come back from what must be fairly major surgery into the midst of the most extraordinary, stressful relegation battle sounds a little almost sadistic to thrust upon a guy like Tony Mowbray. I can't imagine that any of this would have been actioned without Tony's say-so as well. So I don't see this as a situation where Tony has been gently forced into a corner and said no. I think he's probably as much a part of this decision-making process to bring in an interim coach as anybody else has been. And so Gary, who clearly, I think, feels he has a little bit of unfinished business with Birmingham City, and obviously has been looking for an opportunity since quitting Millwall by mutual consent, he's the guy. So he's got 8 games to rescue us, because Mark Venus clearly was not enjoying being the interim himself, and colleagues of mine who witnessed the last 2 games and witnessed his post-match press conferences saw a man that was very weary at having this suddenly, you know, put upon him in terms of Mark Venus.
He's having a rest as well, isn't he? He's taking a step aside. I think he's going to come back pre-season with Tony Mowbray. I just think they've taken the pressure off of Tony, or he's taken the pressure off himself. I think it's a really sensible move. I do. The players have listened to a lot of voices this season. There's going to be one more, but maybe Gary's will be the jolt that the team needs. What's on his to-do list then, Dance? I've seen a fair bit of your boys this season in the flesh. And at centre back, it's been a bit of a mess. But it's not just that. What's he need to address?
Yeah, he's the 6th manager this season, which makes Watford look like amateurs, doesn't it, by comparison? the getting the defensive mindset right is definitely top of the agenda. It was interesting that in the last game, Deion Sanderson, who'd completed a suspension, wasn't started by Mark Venus. I thought that was, if I'm being euphemistic, intriguing, that our best defender, I think most Birmingham fans would say that Deion Sanderson is our best centre-half that we've got. and that he wasn't brought straight back in, which seemed a little strange. And maybe he's carrying a knock or something, I don't know. But he's got to find that balance and blend in the centre of the defence. I don't think anybody's got a problem with the fullback areas. I think when you've got Laird and Buchanan, Drama, you know, that there's players there that are perfectly adept championship level players. It's finding that blend, that two in the middle, whether it's Sanderson and Iwu, Sanderson and Roberts, whatever it might be. And as a former defender himself, that's one thing that Gary Rowett will try and, you know, instill straight away, that defensive solidity. Because going forward, the Middlesbrough game was poor. But I think the last game showed there was much more about Birmingham in an attacking sense.
I've seen a lot of you, and I don't think you're that bad a team. I genuinely don't. And I look at the starting 11, if everyone's fit, and I think, well, that squad there should be 9th, 10th, 11th or 12th probably in the championship. You should be nowhere near where you are. It's you know, can you blame the mess of this season solely really on the upheaval with the gaffers, or is there more to it?
Oh, no, that's got to be a big part of it. It has to be. I mean, to jettison John Eustace, who had the team in exactly the sort of position that you're talking about there, Adrian, and that's exactly where he had them. In fact, just outside the playoffs, if I remember rightly. Much the same as Gary Rowett had them when he was jettisoned for Gianfranco Zola back in 2016. The Rooney experiment, can I call it that, was ill-advised. And I've said before, and I'll say it here, that that whole period with Rooney is like that series of Dallas that ended up being a fever dream by Pam Ewing, and Bobby was in the shower the whole time, and her world hadn't ended.
It never happened, did it?
It never happened. But we are paying for that. There's no question. There's no question that we are paying for that dreadful, dreadful run of form of two wins in 15. And we're in this maelstrom of a relegation battle. And Mowbray came in and appeared to be having the desired effect. That win over Sunderland appeared to have been crucial. We haven't won a game since, because, of course, that's when he stepped back. We haven't scored in the last three games, so there's lots to be concerned about, Adrian. I'm not sure whether I'm any more worried about relegation this season than any of the other stupid seasons we've had in the past 7 or 8 years where we flirted with it.
What happens then if Rowett wins, say, 6 of his 8 games and takes you miles away from trouble and the fans absolutely love him? Are we in an awkward situation there, or is he just going to say, well, that's fine, I've furnished my reputation, I'm now front runner for another championship job? Or will he say, actually, lads, maybe this is the one for me?
Well, it's a really interesting question, Matt, and you can only base your answer on the statement that the club issued yesterday in welcoming Gary back to the club, because Tony and Mark's names were clearly featured as being coming back in the summer. That, you know, the language is there. You can't read between the lines and think, oh, Tony and Mark are toast. It's clear that Tom Wagner and the Knighthead Consortium and the ownership see this as a short-term solution. Now, you're right. Were Gary Rowett to effect an extraordinary run of form, why wouldn't that? I mean, what's the point of having a mind if you don't change it, as the saying goes? So it would have to be, I think, it would have to be a fairly extraordinary run of results in order for that mindset amongst the board members to radically alter. Because I do think they have it in their minds that in the summer, Tony and Mark come back suitably refreshed. Let's see.
Dance, we appreciate your time as ever. Where next? Can we hear you? What's your next assignment?
It would appear that my next assignment is QPR Birmingham on Good Friday for TalkSport 2, which, of course, will now be Gary Rowett's first game back in charge. So strictly neutral, straight down the middle, you know me.
Yes, a real test of your much-vaunted impartiality, no doubt.
Absolutely. But there we go. I'll earn my corn, if nothing else.
You certainly do. You get up and down the motorways of this country more than perhaps anybody in the world of sports broadcasting, all to bring fantastic EFL and more coverage to listeners. Appreciate your time as ever, Dance. We'll catch up with you soon.
Look after yourselves, boys.
Many thanks to Ian Danter. Next today, we're hoping for some wise counsel as we talk Portsmouth. In League One last weekend, Portsmouth earned an absolutely huge victory away to Peterborough. Kusi Nyengi getting the only goal of the game to mean Pompey are 9 points clear of third place with just seven games left. Here to tell us more is Match of the Day commentator and Portsmouth enthusiast Chris Wise. Chris, thanks so much for joining us today. Was Saturday the moment you think that Pompey fans finally allowed themselves to believe that it's on?
Yeah, morning, boys. Yeah, I definitely think so. I think when you look at all of the results that Pompey have had this season, it feels like that win over Peterborough will actually end up being the most significant of all of them for Pompey. Not just because they've gone to a team who are fourth and are clearly one of their direct rivals to get one of those two automatic promotion places, but also I think Peterborough all season at home in the league hadn't conceded a goal, and Pompey have gone there and won. So that and I mean, there were 4,000 fans to see it as well. So they've been brilliantly backed in recent weeks, Pompey. In fact, in some games, it almost feels like that Frat and Faithful have got them over the line in some matches. So yeah, I would say that the win over Peterborough probably will end up being the result that gets them over the line. Obviously, the job's not done yet, and they know that, but they're close now. It feels like they're close.
Yeah, 14 wins by just a single goal this season. So the team are sort of seeing it out really well in some really tight games. A lot of credit obviously has to go to the head coach, John Mocenigo. I mean, it was a massive gamble when they appointed him. But a genius move. I mean, how good is this guy?
Yeah, I mean, you have to give credit to Richard Hughes, the club's sporting director, and to Andy Cullen, the chief executive as well, because when he was highlighted, when he was the man that was picked, I think there were quite a few eyebrows that were raised, clearly because he was still playing. He'd never managed before. A little bit of coaching at Oxford, but not much beyond that. But actually what he has cultivated at Pompey is this real feeling of self-belief. Clearly they've got the recruitment right as well, because they've brought in some big players. He's had to manage some difficult moments in the season, mainly injuries, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think makes Pompey's campaign so remarkable, is that they have lost arguably their best players in the season. They lost Regan Paul back at the end of 2023, a defender who'd come in, who had delivered a majestic first few months, out for the season. Alex Robertson, the Manchester City loanee, was brilliant. I'm such a fan of him. I really think he's going to play at the highest level. Another player that was making a creative difference in midfield, probably out for the rest of the season. And so Pompey have months and months without their key players, and yet they keep finding ways to win games. And it hasn't been swashbuckling. I can't say that they've gone into League One this season and torn it up, because they really haven't. They've just flown.
Yeah, it's a strange one, because I've got some stats here to throw at you, which just makes you think, hang on, how's this team top of the league? 8 clubs have scored more goals in open play than Pompey, including Reading and Charlton. 13 teams have faced more shots in open play than Pompey, including Cambridge and Port Vale. Yet you've got the best defensive record. It is a strange one. What's making the difference here?
They've had players that have stepped up at the right moments. So defensively, even without Regan Paul, I mean, with Regan Paul in the team, they were brilliant. But Connor Shocknessy came in last summer, and I don't think people appreciated the sort of role that he was going to play in this season, because he has been magnificent. Sean Raggett, who's been there quite a few years now, someone you'll know obviously because he went on that brilliant cup run with Lincoln a few years ago. He's another player that wasn't expected to play a huge role in the campaign, because he was never going to be in that defence. And yet he was stepped out of it when Paul and Shocknessy were the initial pair that they chose, and then Paul got injured, so Raggett came in. Raggett played a few games, then they signed Tom McIntyre from Reading. Tom McIntyre got injured in his very first game, out for the season. Back in comes Raggett again. So he's another player that's sort of gone under the radar. And with Rafferty at right back and Sparks at left back, with Ogilvy as well, defensively they have been so sound, and they've just found ways to win games. And they've done it relentlessly as well. Lots of late goals, lots of hanging on in there at 1-0 or 2-1. They've had lots of tight matches, but they keep on doing it. They're so close now as well.
Yeah, and the response to the wobble that they had was really impressive as well, wasn't it? 12 games unbeaten after one win in the previous 6. If they are to be promoted, what's the ceiling for Portsmouth? You know, under the current ownership and people above John Mocenigo, will they be thinking, well, one day we can return to the Premier League? Or is it, come on, one step at a time, let's try and get promoted, stay in the Championship and do it slowly, slowly?
I think they've been in League One and League Two for so long now that a return to the Championship will almost feel like a return to the Premier League because they've been so desperate to get out of League One. I think 2012, they got relegated from the Championship, which seems so long ago now. And obviously they haven't been back since. So for Pompey, I don't think the aim is to get to the Premier League. It's to become a stable Championship club again, which almost in many ways, and some fans will disagree with this, but that almost feels like their natural home, because for so long, that's where Portsmouth were in the second tier. Where they are now feels like absolutely where they don't belong. So I think the aim will be to get to the Championship, to build a steady base. The one thing they need to work on perhaps is the academy, because that's something that of all Michael Eisner's promises to the club, that's the one that perhaps hasn't been fulfilled yet. So they might look at building that so they can bring through a bit more homegrown talent. But it's tough, isn't it? And all the clubs are trying to do the similar thing. So yeah, for me, get to the Championship, stay there next season and just try and get a bit of a foundation.
And do you think the owner would put a bit more money in terms of regenerating the squad if they do go up? Because that's been a criticism as well, hasn't it?
It has, though I have to say, in January, as in the January just gone, when he had to act, when you're in a position of real prominence, as Pompey were in League One at that stage, he acted. He put his hand in his pocket and they went and signed several players. And ultimately, it's going to get them over the line. I think that is going to be the difference, the way that they recruited in January. So I think, to be fair to him, if they do go up, they are going to have to buy, because naturally there's a transition in the squad when you move up a division, and it's a totally different level. It's not like jumping from League Two to League One. So there will be some recruitment. But I would say there are quite a few members of that squad right now who could legitimately put their hand up and say, yeah, I'm capable of playing in the Championship. And I think Messino, by and large, will use quite a sizable portion of the squad he has now, next season in the Championship, if they get there.
Yeah, look, beat Barnsley at the weekend and it's done, right?
Still got Barnsley, still got Bolton, still got Derby. So they've still got to play a lot of those teams around them. But there's one big tick, isn't there, after that win over Peterborough. And actually, if you beat one more of them and get the results elsewhere, that probably will be enough.
Well, we'll say it for you, Chris. We think that Pompey are up. We're not going to jinx it because we're not Pompey fans. Listen, we really appreciate your time today. What's your next assignment? Where can people next hear you?
Where am I next? I am this weekend. I've got a couple of international games coming up. And then the following weekend, I think I've got a Brentford game. I'm at Arsenal in a few weeks, probably back down at Bournemouth because I find myself there a fair bit as well. So, yeah. And obviously at some stage, I'll be getting down to Fratton Park, hopefully.
Yes. And you'll be there for the victory parade at the end of the season, I'm sure. Thanks so much for your time today, Chris.
Cheers, Matt. Cheers, Adrian.
Right, let's have a little look then at the Championship table and what we think is going to happen over the next few weeks, because Easter tends to be when the runners and the also-rans get separated. If we go from the top of the table, we've got new leaders, of course, Clarkie. Leeds have played a game more than Leicester. They're ahead on goal difference. Just feels like they've got the wind in their sail at the moment.
Massively, yeah. I mean, 12 wins from 13. The forwards just keep on delivering, don't they? If Somerville's off, Willie Nonto steps up. If Bamford's not with it, Pirro steps in. You know, James, that Routier, absolutely superb. But I just wanted to give a shout out to them as a defensive unit. Only 28 goals conceded this season. You know, the pressing from the front remains fantastic. No real sign of fatigue, unlike maybe Leicester to some degree. It's been an astonishing run, really. I mean, Leeds have got enough points to have gone up last year. They're already up, but they're not. They could win the title. They could end up in the playoffs. That's how crazy it is. So, yeah, I've been really impressed with them. And I think that I was on the radio last night, and Danny Mills, who should know the thing about Leeds, said, look, the only thing is if something goes wrong at Elland Road, the crowd, who are brilliant when you're doing great, can turn and, you know, it can be a tough place to play. But I just think Daniel Farke's really calm, Matt, don't you? I think he kind of balances that out a little bit. So, yeah, really impressed with Leeds.
Yeah, and we don't know the answer as to whether the crowd are going to turn if they're not playing well, because they still haven't lost a game at Elland Road this season.
No, exactly. And the Easter fixtures don't look too bad. They got Watford away and Hull at home. So I'd expect at least 4 points from Leeds United there. So, yeah, there's every chance that after Easter, that they'll potentially still be in top spot, which is just amazing given how much a lead Leicester had.
Yeah, well, talking of Leicester, I saw them on Sunday. I was surprised that they went with such a strong team against Chelsea, given the fact that they've been reined in a little bit. But I guess that's because they got the bonus of the international break. Is that the fact that they conceded those two goals late on? Is that going to have any sort of effect on them whatsoever? Or is that just something that they can box off? That was the cup. We're going to Bristol City after the international break. Full focus on the rest of the season now.
I think they can box it off, but it wasn't a wholly convincing performance. They weren't very good in the first half.
And one shot on target in the game.
Yeah, I wasn't massively impressed with them because Chelsea, we know that they're, you know, a little bit flaky, kind of there for the taking. So yeah, I think that Leicester are undeniably in a flat spot. It makes me wonder, did they just lose an edge because they were so far out in front? Did they start coasting? And once you coast, it's like that old adage, isn't it? You can't turn form on and off like a tap. It feels like to me that Leicester didn't need to hit top form for so long. They've almost forgotten how to reach those levels that they set earlier on in the season. They need this break massively. And I do expect them to come out of the break much, much better. I really do. I'm at the game, Bristol City, on Good Friday, early kickoff. So they got a chance to sort of lay down that marker. And then, of course, they've got Norwich at home on Monday. So it's huge, huge weekend for Leicester City when the players return. And they've got to be a lot better, got to be much better. Otherwise, there is a real danger now that they'll end up in the playoffs, which just seems bonkers, doesn't it?
Yeah, incredible. And their running is interesting because it's against teams, by and large, you've got stuff to play for, maybe with the exception of Blackburn at home on the last day. They're interesting tactically, aren't they? I like this thing of Choudhury kind of playing right back, but stepping into midfield. But the player who really stood out was Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall. I mean, one way or another, he's going to be in the Premier League next season.
You see his Premier League level. He's so quick, isn't he? When he travels with the ball, you just might as well just let him through because you can't catch him. I think he's a really kind of a unique player. I don't think you see many players in his position. I know you could probably argue what is his position, but you know, box to box midfielder. But he travels with the ball so well, and I think he can break the lines, you know, very, very easily, more so than most players that play that role. So yeah, he's class, and we know he can finish as well. I just think it's the strikers really that have must let the side down for Leicester this season. I also think Maresca's been a bit odd in his choice of strikers. Like he's gone through phases. 1 minute Vardy's the, you know, the blue-eyed boy. Then it's Daka. Then it, you know, and we saw Cannon and Ian Atcher. They've had good moments this season, but barely used at the moment. So he needs at least two of those four to hit some kind of form between now and the end of the season. Otherwise, you know, it could be disastrous.
We shall see. Well, they won't go away, will they? Ipswich, they are, I think, maybe the neutrals' favourite, given that they weren't just relegated from the Premier League and looking to get straight back in like everybody else who's looking to go up. What a response to that defeat at Cardiff, Clarkie. We bigged it up, didn't we, saying, how's he going to pick them up off the floor? That was some team talk before the game against Sheffield Wednesday because they smashed them 6.
Oh, wiped the floor with them, didn't they? Brilliant performance from Mari Hutchison, among others. It was just, I think it was near perfect, wasn't it, from Ipswich? And it does go to show that they are the real deal and they're good enough to go up. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They're the story of this season for me, Ipswich Town.
Haven't lost back-to-back games in the league. That's incredible for a newly promoted team.
It's just they're doing everything right. You know, the recruitment, how good is that? You know, in January, Moore comes in. Brilliant. Sarmiento comes in. He's doing the business. Al Hamadi scoring goals. It is awesome what they're producing. And that connection, I think, between the team, the manager and the supporters is pretty strong. You know, I think that it's carried them to this position, and it could carry them over the line. They'll need some luck because they aren't great at the back. They will concede goals, but what a wild ride it has been this season. And Easter could turn out to be an absolute beauty for them because they got Blackburn away, which I think is winnable, and then they've got Southampton at home, and they can effectively knock the Saints out of the race, can't they? I mean, that if ever a game screamed goals, Matt, Do you think Ipswich Southampton might be the fixture?
Yeah, well, so Saints are quite a long way back, aren't they? They're on 73 points, so Ipswich on 81, Leeds and Leicester 82. And Southampton, we thought they were having a bit of a wobble, but they've scored four goals in each of their last two games. Before that game against Ipswich, they got Borough at home, so I guess they've got to win that. They've still got to go to Leicester and Leeds as well. They're very much the outsiders to get crash the top two at this point.
They are the outsiders, but if you can keep on scoring threes and fours, which they can, you've got a great chance of winning games, haven't you? The issue, like Ipswich, is at the back. You know, I was at the game at Birmingham where they conceded three, and you know, Bazunu has been a bit of a weak link. Let's be honest, we can't deny that. They do gift you chances. What I will say is they've had a 20-day break, or they will have had a 20-day break by the time that Borough game comes around. And they've got, and that's a real bonus, but they've also got some real class individuals like David Brooks. I think Stuart Armstrong's been brilliant this season. Adam Armstrong too. In these big matches, they've got players that are capable of winning it on their own. So I wouldn't completely rule them out yet.
West Brom, next in the table. I mean, they are the very definition of comfortably tucked in the playoffs, aren't they? It's kind of difficult to find anything interesting to say about them, I think, because they're, what, 8 points from seventh place, miles away from the top two. How does Carlos Corberan keep them motivated for the final few games of the season? I guess until they're, you know, certain of their playoff place, that kind of takes care of itself. But might they have an issue in the last two or three games, just keeping tuned up and on it, if they already know that they're
Some might see that as an issue. Some might see it as a bonus that you can rest some players ahead of the playoff semi-finals. The way it's heading, it's heading for Southampton, and Southampton are the one team that have sort of brushed them aside quite easily this season. So they might be hoping for an Ipswich collapse and to maybe get them in the semi-final. Whoever they get, it's going to be tough, isn't it? Because you know, Ipswich and Southampton are nailed on to be third or fourth. So yeah, look, third best defensive record, so many clean sheets. They've scored 21 less than Ipswich, but so what? You know, if you can keep those clean sheets, you stay in the mix, don't you? So, yeah, they're so hard to beat, West Bromwich Albion. I think they've had a cracking campaign, given the size of the squad, which is pretty small. And the fact that they've not really got any prolific goal scorers, they've not got players that have been consistently brilliant inside the final third. It's been about the collective. It's been about the manager, I think, and his tactical approach.
Yeah, they've already lost home and away to Southampton in the league this season, so I guess they'll be keen to avoid them in the playoffs. Norwich, feels like David Wagner's been one game away from the sack since about August, and yet they're nicely tucked in the playoff places. He's been quite serene, actually, hasn't he, throughout it? He's got a bit of stick from the Norwich supporters, but he strikes me as one of those characters who doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, and that's maybe what Norwich needed this season.
Yeah, there's a bit of Daniel Farker about him, isn't he? He's pretty calm. Look, my Norwich supporting friends, not fans, but they've gone very quiet because the team are flying. You know, over the last eight games, they've got the third best record in the division. You know, five wins across those eight. Got players in form. I do like Sara. I know we did a scouting report on him earlier this season. He's into double figures for goals and assists. Sargent and Barnes have stepped up, formed quite a nice little combo. And they're sort of star man throughout the season. Johnny Rowe's out at the moment, isn't he? Injured. So they've put this run together without one of their main men. They can have a big Easter, by the way. Plymouth at home, for me, is almost a gimme. Like that feels nailed on 3 points. And then it's Leicester away. That is, if anyone is playing well enough to maybe upset Leicester City at the King Power, it could be Norwich. So, yeah, they're the team with the momentum, aren't they? And I think they might have a little wobble between now and the end of the season to open the door for Hull or Coventry. But at the moment, they look great.
Right, a couple of teams outside the playoffs just to round this off. Were it not for Ipswich, we'd be saying that Hull City the surprise package of the season, right?
Probably, yeah. I think I tipped them up. And we've mentioned this a few times. Sam said, no, they're in the relegation mix. I said, no, Hull are going to have a good season. So I don't always get it right, but I think Hull kind of saw this one coming. Because I rate Liam Rossini. They're seven unbeaten, but they have had four draws in a row. They've got good talent, haven't they? Cavallio up top is interesting because for me, he's not a striker, but that's where they're using him because they don't really have one at the moment. And that might be their drawback. Obviously, you've got Philogene and Zaruri who are match winners as well. Stoke at home, Leeds away. It's, you know, it's two matches against teams that need results. So won't be an easy Easter for Hull City, but yeah, they can be proud of what they've achieved.
Yeah, and I think we were all really interested when the owner came in, weren't we? He was pegged as the Turkish Simon Cowell, and you kind of think, oh, how's this going to end up? But his investment's been great. He's backed his manager. He gets top marks as well at the moment.
He's not shy, is he? He loves himself, doesn't he? He's full of himself, but he has owned the club in a far more impressive way than the previous guys, you know, the Alam family. So yeah, he's popular. The recruitment's been good, very good actually. But I would credit Rossini there for being able to draw in good players, because I think, because he's such an articulate guy, such a sort of impressive person. I think when players sit down with him, I think they would think, yeah, I could work with this guy. So I think he is a big factor in that. So yeah, look, Hull are in with a sniff. For me, it's Norwich, Hull or Coventry, who we'll come to now, that are almost nailed on for that last playoff spot.
Yeah, so Coventry 4 points off it at the minute, albeit they do have a game in hand. Their Easter fixtures are away to Huddersfield and home to Cardiff. So fairly favourable. Yeah. Mark Robbins, everybody loves him except Gary O'Neill and a ball boy in Wolverhampton. Any chance they get distracted by this FA Cup semi-final? I mean, you can't see that as a negative, can you? You play Manchester United in the FA Cup semi-final. That's just something that you put to one side and think, well, we've got that to look forward to middle of next month. Let's go into it in great form.
Too right, yeah, absolutely. This could be a dream season, you know, play at Wembley in a semi-final, might even get to the final, and we could go up via the playoffs. So close last year, of course. They'd have had a long time away from the Championship as well, before they play Huddersfield. That's a good Easter programme for them. I expect 6 points. Ellis Sims has come good, hasn't he, finally? It was a slow burn for him, but he looks excellent. And Hadji Wright down the left is really impacting games. They're playing so well, those two, that now it's either Palmer or O'Hare in the side as the number 10, and both have been in good form. The issue Coventry have had is against their main rivals this season. They've only beaten one of the top nine all season, which I think is mad, really, when you consider that they've got a great chance of getting into the playoffs and maybe winning promotion. The only team they've beaten in the top nine is Leicester at home. Quite a memorable game with the sending off, of course, of one of the Leicester players. Was it Fatawa that got sent off? So
it was the lad who was going to AFCON, wasn't it? And then he didn't go to AFCON because he wanted to stay and play for Leicester, and then he got sent off.
Unbelievable. So yeah, look, I think that we've covered eight teams there. I think there are eight really good teams, in my opinion. And this time last year, I think it wasn't just us. Most people were saying it's a bit of a weak Championship. You know, Sheffield United and Burnley ran away with it. Luton finished third on 80 points. It feels a much better level this season. And look, they're all worthy contenders, in my opinion.
All right, and there's going to be three more teams joining them in the Championship next season. We'll take a look at League One next. In League One, we've already talked about Portsmouth with Chris, so fortunately, we've got to move on to Derby County, who are looking very good. My stepdad has been to pretty much every game at Pride Park this season. He thinks that it's on, despite the ageing squad. And on that ageing squad, I think we looked at the signing of Dwight Gale and thought, really? This journeyman knocking about? Turns out he's been a really astute signing. 3 goals in 4 games for him.
Yeah, 3 goals in 4. I think he might be out injured now, though. So that will be a blow to them. But yeah, you're right. He's contributed. I think Mendes Lang, who's been his partner up front, is too good for League One, really. He's stumbled on a nice formula. Ebu Adams has come in from the cold and been really good, I think, alongside Harahan in midfield. The two guys, the wide centre-backs in that back three, two youngsters, Cashin and Nelson, doing a great job. And look, you know, 4 wins in a row after losing back-to-back against Barnsley and Charlton is the response of a team that's going places. So yeah, I don't think it's a shoo-in that Derby will get top two, but yeah, they've put themselves in a great position. I think they've been helped by Bolton's flakiness in recent weeks. Derby solid, not that spectacular, but potentially on their way to the Championship.
Interesting to see how Paul Warne gets on with a team that will presumably get a bit more backing than Rotherham did in the Championship next season. You mentioned Bolton and their flakiness. That 5-0 win against Oxford really stood out because it's been a while since they've been that commanding in any sort of game. They were beaten 1-0 at Derby. They go to Stevenage and then they host Reading. They sort of lost their momentum at just the wrong time, haven't they?
Yeah, for me, I still think that they've got the best squad and the best team. I love the football. It's really good football. And the way that they can control teams and swat them aside is seriously impressive. But they've had these flat spots and they've made too many mistakes, silly mistakes in games and gifted points to the opposition. They've also lost their front two at the minute. Charles and Adebayo aren't playing. So they've got Collins and Brodvarsson up top, which isn't ideal. But as they showed when they smashed Oxford, they're capable. Then they follow it up, only have 6 shots at Derby. I think they played all right, but you know they've got to be better than that, haven't they, in these matches that matter. They're just a little bit unreliable. What I will say is that I think it's a tricky Easter, but one that I think they can get 6 points from. Stevenage away, I think they'll control that game, potentially win it. If their attitude's wrong, though, they'll come a cropper because we know what Stevenage are like. And Reading at home, I think I would expect them to win that game. So, yeah, Bolton need to apply the pressure on Derby big time over the next 2 games.
And Peterborough are only 3 points behind Bolton. They are 7 off Derby, but they do have a game in hand. You said that they might threaten the top two a few weeks ago. They've already got one trip to Wembley booked, of course. And we talk about that. We spoke about the Portsmouth game from a Pompey perspective, but Peterborough can't be too downhearted about that, can they? Because they won 6 on the spin, all told, before that. And you'd fancy them to beat Carlisle at home in their next game, and then it's Orient away, Vale at home, Oxford away, Fleetwood at home. So some winnable fixtures coming up for them. Maybe don't count them out yet.
I wouldn't count them out. I think they kind of can't really afford to drop many points now. They probably need at least 7 wins from 8 to really apply the pressure. They do have the bottom 4 to play, and a couple of their immediate rivals. So yeah, I wouldn't write them off because of the firepower that they've got. I mean, it's so much quality, although one or two players are out injured at the moment. But yeah, no, Peterborough United have done really well this season. They're unfortunate in a way that Pompey in particular have been the surprise package in terms of their consistency. I mean, no one, if they lost 4 games all season, it's been bonkers, really, what Pompey's produced. If you take them out of the equation, Peterborough, you know, in the mix for the title, aren't they? They're right on the tail of Derby and Bolton. So, yeah, they can be proud of what they've achieved.
Barnsley also on 71 points. That 5-1 home smashing by Lincoln the other week. That was a real
They smash
shock
everyone
result.
Now, though, don't they?
That's true, yeah. Mate, I mean, just as disappointing in a way, 0-0 draw at home to Cheltenham last time out. So I guess what you want in your next fixture is leaky old Cambridge United at home. Good chance for them to get back on the horse. And then so 6 points over Easter, surely.
They've got to get 6 points. They have to. And if they do, they're pretty much done it in terms of sealing the playoff spot. Because I do think even though Lincoln are flying, but Oxford, Stevenage, I don't think they're going to lose their playoff position, Barnsley. And if they get 6 points against Cambridge or Burton, it's done. It's then a case of who are they going to play? You know, it's just jostling for positions, isn't it, in the playoff area. So, yeah, look, it's been a weird few weeks for them. I think giving up that winning position against Bolton sort of really knocked them. You know, you saw that with that hammering they took at the hands of Lincoln. But, yeah, with a new manager at the helm, I think they've had a cracking season, Barnsley. Hand on heart though, don't think they've got enough to go up. I saw them play Posh earlier in the season at Oakwell, and Posh were good value for their win. I think Bolton, Peterborough, Derby, whoever are in the playoffs, might have too much for Barnsley.
How on earth are Oxford in the playoffs, beaten 5-0 at Bolton a couple of weeks ago? They won 2 of their last 3 against Cheltenham and Port Vale, a team who changed manager mid-season, but it feels like they're not convincing.
Not at all. I mean, this is an amazing stat for a team that is in the mix for promotion and has been all season. At home this season, the highest ranked side they've beaten are 11th place Wigan. I mean, no wonder the fans at the Kasam have been a little bit twitchy. You know, they've not beaten anyone of any real note on their own turf, and that's your bread and butter. That's, you know, look at Pompey, they've beaten everybody. Everybody that's gone to Fratton Park, they've beaten. So, yeah, I just feel it's almost inevitable now that Oxford will drop out, and it's a case of who's going to nick in there. You know, Lincoln are the ones that are flying. Lincoln are the team that everyone will want to avoid if they continue as they are.
Well, you'd think that they'll take that playoff place off Oxford before too long on current form. They're 2 points behind them. I mean, my goodness me, they've scored what? Mass was never my strong point, but 16 goals in their last three games, conceding just one. Clearly, that's not sustainable. But, I mean, again, looking at their fixtures over Easter, you fancy them to beat anybody at the moment, but Orion at home, Carlisle away. They do finish the season at home to Pompey, so they hope that Pompey are already up by that point.
I think they will be, yeah. But they'll be hammered, yeah.
we've got to give Michael Scabala loads of credit, haven't we, because he's turned their season around.
Well, Michael Scabala came in with zero fanfare. Everyone's like, who? I think you even asked the quiz question with me and Sam, you know, about his background as a futsal coach. You know, he's come from nowhere. I know he was at Leeds, and I know that he was an important part of what they were building there, but he's unheralded to a degree, and he's come in and built on what was a pretty good squad, got to say. I don't think there was that much wrong at Lincoln City. We talked about their crazy good defensive record. That's been maintained. They are rock solid. They don't give up that many goals at all. And it was a case of, well, can they score enough? Well, suddenly, bang, it's clicked, doesn't it? Joe Taylor in particular, who myself and Sam have been praising, you know, ever since we saw him at Luton last year, really. He's come in and been on fire, as Moylan, the Irish boy. So, yeah, Lincoln City, biggest overachievers for me in League One this season by a mile.
By a mile, but probably a mile behind them would be Stevenage, because they came up, didn't they? I mean, no wins in four for them, though. It feels like it's trending downwards.
Yeah, three blanks as well in those games. Are they running out of gas? As you know, I think they've scored three in their last seven as a total. We know they're tough to beat. We know that they're abrasive. They'll cause anyone problems if they're not at it. But I just ultimately think that they might come up short quality wise. But Stevenage, I talked about overachieving. I mean, Stevenage, you have to say, have as well. Yeah, I played there. I love that club. It's a really nice place to play football. But there's no way that they should really be at the top end of League One. And it's down to good management from Steve Evans, having a clear identity and an excellent bond. But we talked about it with Ipswich, with Portsmouth, an excellent bond between the manager, the team and the fans inside the ground. So, yeah, Stevenage have been terrific, but just don't see them. Can't see them as a championship club, not with the squad that they've got. So, where they've got to is probably their limit.
All right, that was the top eight in League One. We'll do League Two next. All right, let's do League Two briefly then. Clarkie, Mansfield, you know how Sam and I feel about Mansfield. We think they're always going to let us down. But here they are, top of the table. You never quite know what you're going to get from the Stags, do you? But they're 5 points clear of the playoff places, albeit MK have got a game in hand on them. Is this the season where they finally do it?
This is the season. I'm going to nail my colours to the mast. This is the season. Look, they're the top scorers. They've got the best defensive record, the best goal difference. They deserve it. And I think that 5-1 win at Bradford just showcased what they're capable of. I've really enjoyed watching Kayla Dunn and Swan's development. Aikens still doing the biz. And look, over Easter, they've got Colu at home. They've got that this weekend. Then they've got Wrexham away, which is, you know, an exciting game. Then they've got Accrington at home. I expect at least 6 points there. And that should be almost enough to get them over the line.
What about Stockport? They're back up in second, despite the fact that they've only won one of what? Their last seven games? How's that a thing? They've got MK Dons next. I guess that'll tell us a little bit about whether they've got the staying power or not.
It's an awkward little program they've got. They've only won two of eight. Eight goals scored across eight games. Not not top three form, is it, for Stockport? But what I will say is they've got a lot of their big hitters back. They're not conceding many, so they're stable. It's just, can those returning players, do the business? But MK at home, Wimbledon at home, two tough games. And Forest Green away, big motivation there from Steve Cotterill's side. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks for Stockport. I still think they'll do it, but it's a little bit edgy.
Last game of the season, they go to Wrexham, who are in third place, a point behind them, albeit they've played a game more, beaten by Tranmere at home. They haven't scored in their last two games, so this sort of counts as a wobble for them, doesn't it?
But big time, yeah. They've not beaten anyone in the top five yet. They've gone away to the top eight, zero wins. It's been a slightly underwhelming season. I know that Wrexham might get automatic promotion, but they've not blown the league away in the manner that many expected. Got some great front options, haven't they? But it's been too inconsistent. That win at Morecambe, I was really impressed, but since then, very, very average. So, and they've got awkward games as well. Grimsby away is tough. Mansford at home, 50-50 game. And Donny are basically the most informed side in League Two. They've got to travel there, I think, on Easter Monday. So, yeah, they've got to step up to the plate and they've got to do it quickly.
All right, rather than run through the next six teams, just pick a couple for me. MK, Crewe, Barrow, Wimbledon, Walsall. I guess MK and Wimbledon are two interesting ones to look at, right? Not just because of the shared history, but because Wimbledon seem to be coming up on the rails and MK have been flying of late too.
Yeah, look, Wimbledon have sort of played more games than most. I think they've had 39. I think Jacko will be so upset that they lost at home to Newport in their last game. They'd been on a great run. They've got themselves in the position they want to be. And then they throw in a bit of a no-show. So, yeah, Wimbledon won't roll over for anyone. I think ultimately it's going to be hard for them to go up. I do. I think MK Dons are dangerous because they've got a lot of attacking players that are top quality, in my opinion. They'll win a lot of games, but they're a little bit inconsistent, and I think those two sides might be benefiting from Crewe, who have sort of lost three of their last four. Barrow aren't scoring very many goals, and Walsall have sort of leveled off a little bit after an incredible run. So yeah, I personally feel that the best four teams are in the top four: Mansfield, Stockport, Wrexham and MK Dons, and you know what, I'll be surprised if they're not the four that go up come the end of the season.
All right, I'll hold you to that. We are just about done for today. A reminder before we go that the guys at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer. You can now get a free bet worth up to £35. That is for new customers that sign up only. Check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It's 18+. And remember, always gamble responsibly. You can follow us on Twitter/X at EFLWhatThe or Instagram and TikTok at WhatTheEFL. Leave us a nice review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. We would appreciate it. Before we go, Clarkey, a very quick tweet of the week. This comes from Emmanuel Dennis. Dennis Blessed, as he is, at Dennis Blessed 42. Can't believe there are another 41 at Dennis Blessed's that preceded him. But
he wears 25 as well. Yeah.
Come on, Dennis. So he scores at Birmingham for Watford, the winner. He's put a picture of him celebrating with the ball in his hands with one of his pals behind him. But he says, not a good performance, but happy with the 3 points. Black heart emoji, yellow heart emoji. Should he be going two-footed in on his teammates? In this instance, should you not just say happy with the 3 points?
Come on, this is what me and Sam have been saying all along. We want a little bit of opinion from the players. We want a little bit of less sort of fence sitting. If they've been poor, say it. I know you've got to be careful. You don't want to be digging out your mates too much. But, you referenced it earlier. Birmingham had, how many shots did they have? 26 in that game. So it wasn't a good performance from Watford. And obviously he's happy. The 3 points, good tweet, good solid tweet. I mean, it's route one, isn't it? There's no frills there. What I would have liked to have seen was a little bit of colour matching. They wore white and purple. He's gone for the black and gold, I think, with the heart emojis. I think white and purple would have been the way forward. But look, I'm just nitpicking here.
I wanted him to say not a good performance, particularly from Ryan Porteous, who was not his usual self, or something like that. Just really get specific on it. Yasser Espria deserves to be taken off in the 89th minute. I'm amazed it didn't happen earlier, that kind of thing.
Yeah, or just because it's hard to dig out individuals, but more not a good performance, brackets, let's face it, we were pretty crap. And then say, but look, we got the 3 points, the happy days. That's the kind of personality we want to see, I think, Matt.
All right, guys, we've laid down the gauntlet for you. Let's see if anybody could get really personal. Thanks to Adrian. Thanks to Ian Danter and to Chris Wise for joining us on the show. Really good stuff. We are having a little break next week because Clarkie and I, like Sam this week, are both on holiday. So we'll be back with you in a fortnight's time. Bye for now.